The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast, where we take a behind-the-scenes, intimate look at surgery from leaders in the field.
Good morning. We are in day three of ACP-GBI meeting here in Dublin, Ireland, and we are having a fabulous time, aren't we, Dr. Steele?
Absolutely. It's beautiful weather, wonderful times, and a great opportunity to collaborate.
This morning, we are being joined by the president-elect of ACP-GBI, Dr. Nicola Fernhead. She is a consultant surgeon in coloproctology in Cambridge. And I know we are having a very, very busy time here at the conference, so we really appreciate you taking time for BTK.
Pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. For our listeners, do you mind giving us a brief introduction?
Yes. So my background is, as you said, I'm a consultant colorectal surgeon in Cambridge. My clinical subspecialty is advanced malignancy, but I've taken an interest in all areas of coloproctology over many years. In terms of the Association of Coloproctology, I've served on executive for 6 years now, having started as research and audit chair and then being elected as president-in-waiting, president-elect, and from this afternoon, president for 2019 to 2020.
That's excellent. Congratulations. Before we dive into more of your main projects that you're going to be taking in up as your as a president, could you tell us what do you have as a, as your vision, as your goals for ACP-GBI for the upcoming year?
ACP-GBI is a thriving organization really intending to represent the professional interests of colorectal surgeons, trainees, nurses, and also representative for patients as well across the UK and Ireland. For this next year, we have lots of pretty ambitious projects in mind. We have a whole piece of strategic working on our membership and particularly membership benefits, which will take them throughout their careers. So the idea is lifelong learning and lifelong support. And we're going to be showcasing that over this current year and particularly with particular members workshops at the Edinburgh meeting in 2020. Some other key initiatives are looking at fellowships for subspecialty training, and we've recently had approval from the Royal College of Surgeons for that, and our executive has agreed sponsorship to allow those to go ahead for our trainees in their transition between CCST and consultant practice. Many of you will already know that for the last year we've been working very hard on quality improvement projects. We've been working with IMPACT, which is our advanced malignancy program. We're developing a quality improvement program in inflammatory bowel disease called STRIVE. And we've also been working with the National Bowel Cancer Audit in terms of quality improvement about MDT working. And I think our other major plan for this next year is the full incorporation of Dukes, which has already largely happened. But more and more, we want the trainees to be very much part of our organization, to the point where a trainee may now nominate a future member, which is a big change for us. We're trying to show that we want inclusivity and diversity at every level, and we thought that that was a good way to do it. We're also incorporating our nurses and our patient liaison group more and more. patient liaison group yesterday gave the most phenomenal session on sexual function after surgery, which was very well attended and well, certainly thoughtful, thought-provoking in terms of how it came across. So working together is clearly a major part of our strategic vision.
So that's extremely exciting thing. So let's focus in on one of those and one of the things you spoke about yesterday, and that's your Impact Program. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Impact Program and how it fits into not only the advanced malignancy, but a little bit of how you're going to incorporate that into other aspects of colorectal disease?
So the Impact Program stands for Improving the Management of Patients with Advanced Colorectal Tumors. And it is aimed not just at patients with advanced pelvic malignancy, but patients with any form of advanced disease, whether that's T4 disease, stage 4 disease, synchronous metastases, metachronous metastases. Rather than look at a particular interest group, what we're really looking to do is improve the management pathways and outcomes of all patients who have advanced malignancy. It came about as a result of our Delphi Research Initiative, which we ran in 2013 to 2015. And some of the questions there were very much about improving management of patients in these groups. We rapidly realized that research was going to be difficult without a sea change in streamlining management and narrowing the amount of variation that there is for all patients across the country in the advanced malignancy groups. And so decided that actually the best way to do it would be to start with a quality improvement program aimed at refining pathways, referral pathways, communication about patients between centers and communication with the patients as well. In addition to that, to really give our members a way of trying to improve their management also by being aware of other aspects which are important in advanced malignancy, particularly things like what patients think is important, where palliative care should be involved, emphasizing the importance of quality of survival and not just length of survival. And that has all come through parallel work streams which have happened with patients and also with clinicians. We have now delivered 9 of a 13 visit roadshow around the whole of the UK, where we have taken MDTs and worked with them to show how you can work with all different aspects of advanced malignancy in terms of improving outcomes. And we have a project next year which will start to look at whether that has an impact. So has impact had an impact is the question. And hopefully we'll be able to start getting some data from our national data sets about whether that has actually made a difference.
So how do you plan on transitioning that to IBD or other type of colorectal disease?
So our STRIVE program has already started with some background work. It started a couple of years ago with help from Austin Acheson, who set up our first IBD database. We had long had a pouch registry, but that was a voluntary registry. We didn't have anything based on administrative data. Austin and his team have actually now given us a working tool that we can use, albeit it's limited to England at the moment, but we hope to be able to expand it as administrative data sets become more available in the devolved nations. But it allows us to know what the denominator is. It tells us who's doing what and some basic stuff about length of stay and a few quality metrics, for example, proportion of laparoscopic procedures and the like. We've used that initial data set, because data tends to drive everything, as a way of looking at high performance. So we're currently running a high performance program where we've identified the top 17 performing units across the country, and we're starting qualitative interviews with them in order to find out what high performance looks like and how it's achieved. As always, with everything we do, we're running a parallel program with patients. And so we've also got a patient initiative up and running where we're going to ask patients to define what quality looks like. And once we've got those two aspects in place, we're then going to be working with Getting It Right First Time, which is our national quality improvement program, to actually take that into trusts at trust level and work out individual ways of improving outcomes.
Exciting stuff.
This is this is a great, great initiative that the ACP-GBI is going to be taking, and I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this turns out next year. I would now like to kind of shift subjects and talk about your tripartite vision. Talk to us about it. I had not heard about it back in the States, so give us a brief overview of what this program is all about.
Well, actually, this started back in the States in 2017 during the ASCOS meeting in Seattle, which was actually a tripartite meeting. Now, tripartite is a very well-established, loose collaboration between originally the Australasian, American, and UK and Ireland groups, but in 2014, that included Europe as well for the first time. And we're very glad to have the ESCP as our partners, as well as the RSM from the UK and Ireland point of view. So tripartite, the idea is every 3 years, the meeting moves to one of those three key geographical areas. It's hosted by the local organization, and it brings together the opportunity for networking, collaboration, and friendships between colorectal surgeons from around the world. There is an increasing global move with tripartite. There, in every likelihood, the name will change with a wish to incorporate more and wider global partners, but that's an evolving project. In 2017, we decided that the way to keep tripartite alive, to allow people to know it existed and to allow institutional memory to develop about tripartite, was to set up collaborative projects which would work between tripartite organizations and hopefully encourage international collaborations, which would then be presented at tripartite each year. In fact, the first project which was set up was run by the hosts, which is Auckland in New Zealand. Professor Ian Bissett set up a working group to look at low anterior resection syndrome. And that has been a very patient-focused piece of work done across all the tripartite organizations, and recently had the consensus in Nice last year and was submitted for publication last week. So we have our first potential publication coming out of tripartite 2020 collaborations, but there are many more. Later this morning, we're going to hear about 9 other projects, many of them led from the UK, because that's part of our collaborative research culture, but actually, very pleasingly, with projects which are being led from all over the tripartite nations, including one from ASCOS. So you'll hear about the PROP study later today, which is being led by Liliana Bourdigneux from Massachusetts General, and looking at pouch function. And again, a very patient-centered, patient-focused project, which we hope to present next year at tripartite.
That's great. When is the upcoming meeting?
So tripartite meeting is in November, the 9th to the 11th of November 2020 in Auckland. In order to get everybody there, we have one other piece of work which is happening in preparation, which is much more inclusive. It's something for everybody. And that is, we're preparing a prioritization of research questions across the tripartite nations. We've already completed the first phase, and in that we had around 540 participants from all the tripartite nations, including 100 or so from ASCARS, who put in questions, and we have around 750 questions to sort out at the moment to send back to our members for prioritization. You would probably also be interested to know that 250 patients put in questions into that exercise.
Mm-hmm. Well, we sure appreciate the opportunity for you to come and sit down with us and talk to our listeners at Behind the Knife. We know how busy you are, and congratulations on all the work you're doing.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning again from Dublin. We are currently joined with Dr. John Monson.
So, John, known you a long time. So you are the Executive Director of Colorectal for Advent Health in Orlando, Florida. But give us a little bit of background about yourself, where you're from, how to come to the point that you got to the position you're in now.
Sure, good morning. This is my hometown, actually. I was born and bred in Dublin, graduated from medical school here, did my surgical training in Ireland and in England, and research years also in England, and then some time in Ireland before doing my fellowships. I finished with a year in the Mayo Clinic, went back to the UK in London, actually, on faculty at Imperial College, before becoming chairman of surgery in the University of Hull in the north of England in 1993. I was chairman there for 15 years and then moved in 2008, a big move for me, across the Atlantic to the University of Rochester Medical Center in upstate New York. And then 3.5 years ago, I moved to Central Florida to Advent Health, where, as you say, I'm Executive Medical Director of Colorectal Surgery and also Chair of the Digestive Health and Surgery Institute for the whole Central Florida system.
Well, John, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on BTK. So, you know, one of the things we wanted to touch base on is just you've had a long history of, you know, multiple leadership roles, not only as co-editor of DCR, but within ASCARS being on the Executive Council and obviously having different roles on both sides of the pond, as you say. So what does ACP-GBI mean to you? What's it meant through the thing? And talk a little bit about the collaborative process that's occurred through the years.
Yeah, ACP is a relatively young society. It only really started in 1990. I was one of the first members. And as you say, was involved for most of my career, 20 years in the UK, ending up on Executive Council and chairing the Clinical Services Committee, etc., etc. It's been a very successful specialty society, and I think, as you can see from this meeting here, one of the strong themes that emerges from the way the ACP operates is their collaborative research programs. I think it's really very encouraging to see how well these multi-centered collaborations, not just within Great Britain and Ireland, but also across Europe, have been developed by leadership of ACP in collaboration with other groups. And that was very clear, for example, in the topics being discussed at the session this morning.
Yeah, that brings us up to this lecture, Past, Present, and Future of Rectal Cancer. It was an amazing lecture. Could you give us some brief highlights from your talk for our listeners?
Sure. So the session overall was about early rectal cancer, and we heard there were four speakers, and we heard some really interesting data on the early rectal cancer trial, which was called TREC, which was presented by Simon Back from Birmingham. I have some skin in that game because I designed that trial more than a decade ago with Simon. And it really asked the question as to whether we could use short course radiotherapy in combination with local excision in an effort to achieve organ preservation. Short answer to that is yes, you can. And so the next trial is taking place, which you'll be, of course, delighted to hear is called Star Trek. And now randomizes patients. It's about to enter a phase 3 pan-European trial between getting short course radiotherapy and long course chemoradiotherapy, and again aiming towards organ preservation. On the other side of the coin, you heard a description of TAMIS versus TEMS from Chris Cunningham in Oxford. This week is the 10th anniversary of the invention of TAMIS, actually, in our unit in Orlando. So we have a lot of experience of both TEMS and TAMIS. And he spent some time describing the difference between the two techniques and what works for him and what might be an option for people undertaking that type of work. And then really interesting was this SPEC study, presented by the Basingstoke group. This was a project led by Brendan Moran, who's the current president of ACP-GBI, and addressed the issue of large, unusual-looking polyps in the rectum that may contain cancer. What should we do about these, and how should they be managed? Should we just biopsy them? Should we just take them out? And there's a national program trying to develop a way, an algorithm and pathway. So it was very interesting to present all of this work, and my job was simply to bring it all together and say, this is where we've been, this is where we are, and here's where we're going with some of these new initiatives and new treatment options.
So, John, we truly appreciate the opportunity to come and sit down with us. if you were to look on the horizon and talk about, just for our listeners from all around the globe, how do we translate this collaborative kind of energy that is here so that we can kind of look out and see all the different ways with Twitter and all this, these different multi-platforms that are out that connect the world and make it shorter? What are the next steps to really make sure that we're truly putting patients first and how we can do better with outcomes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really great question. I think it's influenced by where you are in terms of society, you know, what works in one society versus the other. Mostly the UK is based on a single-payer system. One of the advantages of single-payer systems is the ability to standard set across the whole piece, so that if somebody decides to undertake an initiative, it's a little easier than in a completely unregulated society. And they've, you know, utilized that advantage to be able to develop these collaborations. North America or other societies, Australia, for example, is a little more difficult to do that. It doesn't mean it's not possible. I think we've seen some great multi-centered research collaboratives take place in the United States. And indeed, in terms of patient care, as you're well aware, the National Accreditation Program for Rectal Cancer, I think, is a very good example of how multiple disciplines, multiple societies sat down in a room together and have led to a national program that hopefully will make things better for our patients moving forward.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Behind the Knife. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning once again. We are now joined with Dr. Dina Harji. Dr. Harji is a trainee currently who's going to be practicing as a coloproctologist, starting with her fellowship in France. She is currently the president of the Duke's Club. Thank you for joining us on Behind the Knife.
Thank you for having me. Yes, so I'm currently an ST7 trainee, which basically means I've got 12 months left of being a trainee. And then, yes, I hope to fly off to sunny Bordeaux for 12 months before coming back to the UK to start consultant life. But I don't actually have a job to come back to yet, so we'll have to find a job. And I'm sure there'll be one on the horizon.
And congratulations on an excellent year of presidency for Duke's Club.
Thank you very much. I came to Duke's presidency in April following a very good year under the reign of Henry Ferguson. We've had an excellent sort of 3 or 4 months in already. And this is our second major event of the year. And I can say that it's actually gone very well. I'm very pleased with it.
So, Dina, give our listeners a little bit of background about the Duke's Club. I mean, just having the energy about this around this particular meeting and seeing what you guys have been able to accomplish collaboratively, that's something that I hope that all of our listeners, wherever they're listening around the world, can kind of use as a platform to kind of get people together and collaborate. So tell us a little bit about the organization.
So Duke's Club is 23 years old. It is a national club, consists of trainees from across the UK, and we've changed the way we work a lot over the years. So over the last 12 months, we've expanded a lot. So our current structure is that we have a executive committee, which has three of us as a presidential committee. So we have past, current and vice president. And that allows us to have a 3-year forward strategy. We then are supported by a number of executive committee members, of which there are 12. And then we have regional representatives in every single region in the UK, which maps to the ACP GBI chapters. And then we have our offshoot committee, which is the Duke's Research Collaborative Committee. And that's a committee of about 6. So overall, I'm in charge, or I look after about 40 people, and they work across the UK. And we represent views of all colorectal trainees at all levels. So any trainee who's a surgical trainee has an interest in colorectal, we represent their training, research and academic views. And what we do is we have an annual weekend, which is an educational weekend that we host that's completely free. And it allows trainees to come from across the UK and network whilst being delivered high quality practical skills courses and good quality educational content. The strategy for the next 12 months is quite ambitious. We've got 4 subspecialty days in the running They are looking at emergency surgery, advanced cancer, inflammatory bowel disease and pelvic floor. And really they're mapped for the sort of more senior trainees, so coming up towards their exams or coming up to the beginning of consultant life. We've got a how to approach the final years of your training course, looking at how do you look for that fellowship? So, you know, how do we come to Cleveland, or how do we go to France, or how do we go to a fellowship in the UK? How do we go about getting a consultant job? How do you make that transition from becoming a trainee to a consultant, not just within the NHS, but how can we make that transition within the ACP-GBI? I'm really delighted to say that we are working with the two young coloproctologists of the year, so Rebecca Fish and Kat Baker, to try and help those transition periods. And then we've got a number of cadaveric courses. So this will be the first year that we will be delivering some advanced cadaveric colorectal courses. So we'll have 2 days next February where trainees will get a cadaveric specimen and a consultant to take them through laparoscopic right hemicolectomy, laparoscopic lower anterior resection, APR, proctology. And we've got another cadaveric course looking at endoscopy. And then we will have 21 regional events, so 21 networking events across the region, which will be hosted by our regional representatives, and we'll have a research skills course. So we have a very, very busy year ahead of us, but I think it shows our growth over the last 23 years. It shows that we are a very engaged group of colorectal trainees. We're very passionate about the training opportunities that we can provide, and we're, it's all about taking the specialty forward in a very collegiate and collaborative way. And I think that's the only way that we will continue to develop. And I think doing things like this with BTK is a great way of building new relationships and really looking at where do we go from here? What is the next thing for Dukes and BTK together? Can we start something for the UK? Possibly. I think, you know, the sky's the limit.
So you're early on in your tenure, but what has been the, one of the harder things that you didn't expect to encounter, and what has been one of the more fun things that has kind of come across?
I think getting you guys here has probably been one of the more difficult things. But I think having you here has been absolutely phenomenal. When you're in a leadership post, it's really important that you represent everybody and that you don't just represent your own interests. And sometimes that means that you have to have difficult conversations with the ACP-GBI Council or with other consultant colleagues. And I think that has not been easy, but it's certainly a challenge that I've enjoyed and will continue enjoying, because I think ultimately I've been elected into this post to make sure that I and Dukes provide the best opportunities for the trainees over the next 12 months. So definitely a challenge, but certainly enjoyable.
That's excellent. And what have you, for the last 3 days, it's been an amazing conference, lots of great world leaders giving us some great, you know, great lectures and some upcoming research and new developments in the field. Could you give us your brief highlights or a recap for our listeners of how this conference has been?
So I'm going to be very biased and say all the Duke sessions have been absolutely phenomenal. I think this year has been one of the first years where Dukes have worked with ACP-GBI to really integrate trainees into the programme. So our sessions have been interspersed with the main sessions. We have got the opportunity to have our first inaugural keynote lecture, which, you know, Scott is delivering. We are co-chairing sessions. So our trainees are panel members on all the major lectures. And I think that shows a great progression from ACP. I think it's very forward thinking. And I think it certainly shows that trainees, we are very much part of the multidisciplinary team and we have a very important contribution. I think all the keynote lectures have been absolutely fantastic. I think the Dukes Club Horizon Scanning session was really, really forward thinking. I think it's great to celebrate all our successes. It's really important to have one eye on what is in the future. You know, AI is coming. How do we look at that as colorectal surgeons? How do we incorporate that into our practice? The microbiome, how do we look at manipulating the microbiome to get the best for our patients? And navigational technology, how do we deliver precise surgery? And I think horizon scanning, for me, without a doubt, has been one of the standout sessions.
So Dina, where do you go from here? What is, obviously, you have your whole clinical and personal side where you got to get through your training, get through your fellowship and everything, but in terms of just not only just this collaborative process between ACP, GBI, and Duke's Club, but just how do you put it all together?
Oh, that's a really difficult question, Scott. How do I put it all together? I think it's a continuum, and I think that one door closes, another one opens, and I think that if we deliver all that we can this year for Dukes, Dukes and ACP will just get bigger and better, and we will start to be able to provide more and more opportunities for our trainees, more and more opportunities for our membership, and we'll continue to grow. And I hope that that carries on in the next 4, 5, 10 years. And I, you know, Dukes will very much come into its own, but very much under the realm of ACP.
For our final segment of this podcast with Dr. Dina Harji, we are going to be going into our very first question. Dr. Steele.
So, Dina, number one, do you play music in your operating theater? And if so, what is it?
So, as a trainee, I don't have my own operating theater. I just listen to whatever my boss wants to listen to at the moment. When I become a consultant, I'm sure I will listen to music, and it will depend on my mood. So anything from classic to popular culture.
All right. Our second question for you. Tell us about a hidden talent of yours.
So I'm a trained classical Indian dancer. I didn't particularly enjoy it when my parents used to take me to the classes as a child, but yes, I got through it through sheer grit.
Number three, what is one of the best trips or vacations that you have ever been on? Where and why?
I would say to Australia, to Sydney. I absolutely love it. We always have a great time. The weather is great. The food is amazing. And you can't beat the coffee.
Awesome. Our fourth question, if you weren't a surgeon, what would you be?
I would be a travel journalist, but I would only go to the high-end hotels. I wouldn't do any of the camping and things like that. So I would be a travel journalist.
And number five, if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice on your first day of internship, what would that advice be?
Just be nice. Be nice to everybody. A smile goes a long way.
Fantastic. And again, thanks so much for joining us here on Behind the Net.
Well, Shreya, we're wrapping up here at ACP GBI 19. It's been a wonderful time here at Dublin.
It's been a great experience learning about the clinical research, the collaboration that goes on here, and the clinical practices, the QI projects. They all have been such great information for us and now to our listeners back in the States.
Well, we just want to thank all of our guests here on Behind the Knife, and obviously a very special shout out and thank you to the president of the society, Professor Brendan Moran, and to the head of the Dukes Club, Dina Harji, for inviting us here and taking part in what has been a really memorable experience, for I think, for the both of us.
That's absolutely right. I couldn't have imagined being here and learning and meeting all these world experts in the field of coloproctology. It has been an amazing experience, and we thank you to the ACP for a great experience and a great collaboration.
And so for all of our listeners out there, we highly encourage everybody to take part in these wonderful meetings that occur around the globe, because it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know new people, collaborate, come up with new ideas, and really share in some wonderful experiences. So from both of us to all of you, dominate the day.
Until next time, dominate the day.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.